You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Thank you, Don Rue. Good morning. It is 7:06. Ooh, what's that? Oh, yeah. Kristen Lyerly is here, Selena Heller as well. And a song I've been waiting to play for forever by a local band, the Jaggernauts. The song's name is Kreitlow, and I've never known why. Yes.
It sounds so like 90s upper Midwestern rock.
Yeah.
It's so perfect.
It's it is. Yeah. It's really cool. I remember seeing, now the Jaggernauts have been around since I think 2006, and I knew of them. But it wasn't until somebody brought it up to me, like, you know, what's with the song called Kreitlow? I'm like, I have no idea. So I sent them an email through their Bandcamp site some time ago, and I finally heard back. And because we also need their permission to play it. And so they write back saying, hello, Pat, sorry for the late response. The Jaggernauts would love to have the Kreitlow music be associated with your radio program. The song is about being young and seeking answers in a confusing world. The lyrics were influenced by the time our band founder, Noel Hansen, listened to your show, The Kreitlow Catastrophe, while growing up. The Kreitlow Catastrophe was the name of my college radio show.
Are you kidding?
Back in the early 1980s.
Yes.
Yeah.
You have no idea how you influence people until something like this happens decades later and you suddenly realize, whoa, I
know.
Had an impact.
Yeah. So I love the riff at the start. So we'll definitely, you know, make a lot of use of that. It's just the lyrics. Again, I'm not quite sure the influence of the Kreitlow Catastrophe, but, you know, the lyrics go, lying in bed, I try to sleep, circling fingers cut me real deep, paranoia blankets fear that will walk down the hall, independent thoughts will shake the foundation and fall. I've been scratching, I've been buried away, but not alone, buried away, but I'm not alone. And it goes, whoa. Threshing in bed, stuck in a dream, I hear your voice, familiar it seems. Promises unmade by the actions of someone in love. Creatures escort my flesh to the one-way road I will trod. And I've been buried, but not alone. And on it goes. So we love the riff at the start. I'm not sure the others is morning radio stuff. But and I'm still not sure of the influence because the Kreitlow Catastrophe played a lot of soft rock music. I had the adult contemporary shift on the college radio station. A lot of Hall & Oates in there. And that's just it. Maybe Hall & Oates will make some people, write lyrics like that.
You need to leave the lyrics alone and just focus on the tune. Because how often do you sing a song for a long time, years maybe, and then you see the lyrics and you realize suddenly, oh, that's not what I thought it was. Or those words aren't what I thought they were. Leave the lyrics alone. Just focus on the Kreitlow piece.
I love the guitar in there. So you'll hear that every so often. Anyway, we'll get back to psychoanalyzing my impact on song lyrics coming up in just a bit. But first, it's time for the Grown Up Gift List Text to Win contest, a multi-station, multi-state game from Civic Media with a daily prize of $200 and three grand prize winners. There's a brand new snow blower. There's a portable air conditioner. There's a stainless steel cookware set. To learn more about the prizes, head to civicmedia.us. You have until 8 o'clock to send in this hour's keyword, and then you'll have other chances to win at 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and then 1, 3, 5, and 7 p.m. And so this hour's keyword is wind, W-I-N-D, wind. You have until 8 o'clock to text that in using the Civic Media app. Entrants will receive an automatic message after each entry, giving you a chance for more entries via a link to complete a specific activity, such as following a newsletter. So again, full rules at the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, wind, W-I-N-D, is the word to send that in. Packers were big winners over the Bears, a very exciting finish. I don't know, Celine, if you were watching that. We all talked about shouting at the TV already yesterday.
Yes, we were watching. Emery has to watch. Yeah, so we were high-fiving, and she's cheering, and it's fun.
That's great. All right. And it ended with, the Bears trying to score a touchdown to tie the game, and Caleb Williams gets picked off in the end zone by Keyshawn Nixon, sealing amazing. The deal. 28-21, the Packers have won four in a row now, including three against division foes, and are now atop the NFC Norris division, as we like to call it. They will next play Sunday at 3:25 in Denver. And then 6 days later, they play the Bears again on Saturday, December 20th at Chicago. That's a night game on Saturday, December 20th. And, of course, you can catch the game on Civic Media stations across the network. Head to the website to learn more. Selena is going to tell us about a story that she's been working on for Up North News, dealing with a program that helps local farmers supply food to local schools. I mean, it is the very definition of a win-win program. Mm-hmm. But, those tax cuts for billionaires aren't going to pay for themselves. And so good programs like that have to be shot down. And Selena will tell us more about that. But while we've got Dr. Lyerly, I also want to get to a particular vaccine panel through the U.S. Department of Health and the Centers for Disease Control, all influenced by Robert Kennedy Jr., noted quack. This is about hepatitis B vaccine. And Kristen, you just set it up, what they did and, what this is going to impact, because it's not great.
It's not great at all. I'll give a little bit of background. So Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has a board of folks who are experts, supposed to be experts, when it comes to vaccines. They take into account all the latest data and information, and they make recommendations about which vaccines we should receive. Well, he replaced most of those experts, maybe even all of those experts, with political appointees. And recently, they've been making some really non-medically oriented decisions. The latest is the hepatitis B vaccine. They have decided not to give newborns hepatitis B vaccine. Here's why this is important. Hepatitis B can be transmitted at the time of birth, and somebody who has it may not even know that they have it. We test for it, but they may not know that they have it. So an infant, a newborn, can get hepatitis B at the time of birth. And this is something that we can completely prevent this newborn from growing up with. Hepatitis B can cause liver diseases in the future, lots of chronic health problems. Unfortunately, because they made this decision, it is likely that the larger FDA will choose not to promote these in the future. And that means that a lot of babies are not going to get vaccinated. And that means that we're going to see more liver disease in the future, more entirely preventable liver disease, unfortunately.
Do we think it then, because if it's not on the recommendation list, will insurance companies stop covering it if parents say, hey, I want this anyway?
We hope so. But the problem with vaccines is that how often do you think about the vaccines that you get? Mm-hmm. We don't seek out vaccines. This is the public health piece of this. Vaccines are one of the greatest public health achievements in the last century, because these recommendations are made by experts. You go see your doctor and you do the preventive care piece, and that includes vaccines. Your doctor advises you, this is what we recommend. They give you the basic information. You don't go to your doctor and say, I want to be vaccinated against these things. So because this will likely be removed, it will impact how many children will receive this vaccine. And this is really, this is devastating. Definitely for newborns, but certainly for all of our health moving forward. I mean, this has been a vaccine that we have used for over three decades, and we've seen a significant change in the amount of liver disease in adults now at this stage in the game. So this is a huge step backwards in public health, but it's aligned with so many other steps backwards that we've taken or that we've seen under the Robert F. Kennedy Jr. regime.
Can this blow be softened somewhat if groups like the Academy of Pediatrics, the American Medical Association, and others, as well as individual doctors, speak up and remind parents of you know, the actual facts about vaccines?
Yeah, that's a really important point. And we are doing that. AAP, the American Academy of Pediatrics, ACOG, my college, we are putting out our own recommendations. And those are very important. And those are the things that your doctors generally are offering. But the advantage to having the national organization supporting this is it shows a unified front. And it is so much easier to coordinate all of that information and make sure that we are all offering the same recommendations. Yeah. So yes, we will continue to do that. But again, as I said, we are taking a huge step backwards in public health again here in the United States.
All right. Dr. Kristen Lierley is here along with Selena Heller. And after a few days absence, we get updates on YouTube once again in the comment section from Rob from Tigerton, who says, good morning. It's cloudy and 5 degrees below zero. Says, I've been busy plowing snow and I will be busy again this week. There is a winter storm watch for central and northeastern Wisconsin Tuesday afternoon into Wednesday morning. He then gives us the update. Last Wednesday, I was in a car accident along 29 between Wittenberg and Shawnee. A semi-truck sideswiped me. The driver who hit me, it was his first accident with more than a million miles of experience. And since his accident, he's been laying low. He says, Kristen saw my totaled car sitting on the shoulder of 29 as she was headed to Minnesota.
And
so, Rob, we're glad you're okay. And we're very sorry to hear about the accident. And a reminder to everybody, don't let anything from slippery roads to sun glare to anything else get in the way. And keep it between the lines on there.
That's right. Really scary experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Rob, we're glad that that you're okay and you're back online checking in with us. And everybody else can feel free to in the Facebook or YouTube comment sections as well. If you missed it a few minutes ago, WIND, W-I-N-D, is the keyword in our grown-up gift list Text the WIND contest. Selena, I think we've got time to get to one of the tapes that you want to play from people you talk to about the local programs being cut that help farms provide lunches to schools.
Yeah, Wisconsin was supposed to get $9 million, Wisconsin schools were, from the U.S. Department of Agriculture program called Local Food for Schools, and they didn't because it was cut. The program was cut. So Caitlin Turanian, she is the child nutrition coordinator from the Ashwaubenon School District, but she is also president of the Wisconsin School Nutrition Association, and she's a big advocate for kind of sourcing local food for all schools, and just this local farmers pairing up local farmers and schools, you know, get food right down the road. It seems pretty, makes a lot of sense, right?
Yep. Seems right. Logical.
So this is Caitlin.
It's been fantastic. It's been very well received. We are using something that's literally getting processed an hour down the street from us versus, you know, not knowing where in the country these items are coming from. And it's very fresh. It's just been a really wonderful product to work with.
Again, it's just the ultimate win-win kind of program for local school districts that want to feed their kids and for local farmers looking for a market. So if you want to follow Selena's full report, you can head over to Up North News and follow it through the website or through our social media sites as well. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok if you're not already. Just search for Up North News WI to learn more. We mentioned in sports, of course, the Packers were winners over the Bears, and they will play in Denver next time around. Let's see, the Badger men's basketball team over the weekend trounced Marquette and will next play Wednesday night at Nebraska. And you can hear that game Wednesday night starting at 7:30 on several Civic Media stations. And then you've got the Badger women's volleyball team that swept in the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament. They advanced to the regional semifinals in Austin, Texas, and will play a two seed Stanford on Friday afternoon. So much more still ahead here on these mornings powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and you're Up North.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All I got to do it again. I got to brag about this newsletter that we put out at Up North News, upnorthnewswi.com. Sign up for it there, he said, as we come up on 6:23 on this Tuesday morning. I'm Pat Wrightlow. The photo atop of it today comes from Steve in South Milwaukee capturing Grant Park Mill Pond. So you see this little dam and then a pond and then some kind of cabin or something off in the distance. And it's one of those mornings where everything is kind of frosty. Just got a little light frost coating on there. It's just gorgeous. We've got stuff like that every day in the newsletter. Also in the newsletter today, 10 of the best cut-your-own Christmas tree farms in Wisconsin. I would imagine we're really getting to that time of year for a natural tree. You know, you don't want to get it too early because you just know it'll just get all dried out and everything. So this seems to be the best time. I mean, we haven't had a real tree in some time, so I'm no expert on this now. But there are plenty of great Christmas tree farms where you can go to. Sheila Everhart from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association talked to us about that recently. And in our newsletter, you can get a link to some of the best places to go. There is also a note in the newsletter today about our quarterly pledge drive at Up North News. And again, Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media. So when I talk about fundraising, I'm not talking about Civic Media, just about Up North News, where Up North News is supported by some big donors and some mid-sized donors and a whole lot of smaller donors who, you know, there's no paywall for what we do on social media, the website, you know, all the places where you can watch our videos. And so, you know, once every quarter we pass the hat and say, look, you're not paying for a newspaper subscription for this. What would you like to, kick in a little something? A lot of people click on the link at the top of our website. I think right next to it, the subscribe button, there's one that says support us. But other people are very old school, and I get those emails now and then going, hey, we want to send you a check. We don't want to do online payments. That's fine. Our mailing address is at the bottom of every newsletter. The address has always been the same right here in Chippewa Falls, P.O. Box 27, Chippewa Falls 54729. Again, P.O. Box 27, Chippewa Falls 54729. We get the nicest notes from people along with, you know, the little checks for $10, $25, the occasional check that's larger than that. And every one of them is greatly appreciated, especially for this reason. Out of all the properties of Courier Newsroom, you know, and Up North News is one of the state-based newsrooms. We have newsrooms in Iowa, in Michigan, Virginia, Pennsylvania, Arizona, North Carolina, and Texas and others. Out of all of them, we have always, for the 6 years we've been around, we have always had the highest total of reader subscription, not subscriptions because it's not a paywall, but, you know, donations, gifts, whatever you want to call it, support. We are the envy of every other outlet in the Courier Newsroom constellation, and we appreciate that so much. For those of you who have been sending those nice notes, again, P.O. Box 27, Chippewa 54729. All right, it gives me no great joy to talk about Derek Van Orden doing Derek Van Orden things again. Before we get to his latest Twitter tantrum, let me share just what he said over the weekend. At one of the places, one of the few places you'll see Derek Van Orden, a fundraising dinner. Speaking to a group of young Republicans in Oconomowoc, Van Orden said these words, and they're on social media, quote, "I'd take a punch in the face for you. I will fight tirelessly for your freedoms," he said to these young Republicans. So he'd rather take a punch in the face than hold a town hall and actually talk to a group that's not all Republicans. I'm just beginning to think he would take a punch in the face rather than show any difference between himself and Donald Trump. Anything that would show he's fighting tirelessly for his entire district, not just for young Republicans, not just for his dear leader. I'm beginning to agree with the editorial cartoon I saw the other day that guesses that the reason the president needed an MRI recently was to find out exactly how many Republicans are still stuck up his backside. But anyway, let's get back to this tireless keyboard warrior. Among the more than two dozen tweets he made in the past 24 hours, because apparently he's still not interested in doing the job of a congressman, Derek Van Orden's rolling sewage pipe of social media wisdom included this nugget while answering someone who dared criticize him. Quote, "This guy was not satisfied just tarting once." This guy was not satisfied just tarting once, as in retarded. Quick note here that since President Trump used the word retarded recently to describe a governor, there has been a noticeable uptick in the use of that slur. Because as I noted last week, Donald Trump's most notable accomplishment as far as how history will look back on him is that he was somehow able to lift a rock that had been in place for a long time. He lifted the rock that most racists, bigots, and jerks had the good sense to live under. They were quietly racist by comparison to today. But with that rock lifted, that bigotry has the oxygen to flourish. And it doesn't just happen with members of Congress. It happens to a clerk at a Cinnabon store in Ashwaubenon. And by now, you've probably seen the video, if you had to subject yourself to it, of a Cinnabon employee in Ashwaubenon calling two Somali American customers the N-word and saying to the camera, "I am racist and I'll say that to the entire world." Well, anyway, that video got posted, and Cinnabon, to their great credit, probably set a world record in firing somebody. She claims the customer started the dispute, and you don't see that before the video begins. But right there on the video, the customer confesses to her sin. She was asking for more caramel on a roll because she didn't think there was enough. I mean, you know, who among us wouldn't go full-blown racist if we were working in customer service and a customer was upset about being given a product they didn't think was right? Oh, wait, none of us would do that. Every one of us who've worked with customers has had days getting unfairly criticized by a customer, and you might really hate that person in the moment, but going racist on them? That's behavior you only see from people who feel free crawling out from under that rock that Trump lifted up, whether you are a Cinnabon clerk or a member of Congress. This woman even lost the support of the far-right New York Post. We'll get into that a little bit later on. But first, we've got today's history lesson to tell you all about. So stick around for that, including a little Blues Brothers right after this. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north. Tomorrow on the program, we will have Ellie Bordeaux, our newsletter editor at Up North News. Earl Ingram will be along as well. And we'll have Melissa Baldoff with our climate check joining us too. So stick around. And of course, another chance to win in the grown-up gift list text to win contest. You've got your next chance in the 9 o'clock hour for Matt and Air on Air. But we, of course, kick things off in the 7 o'clock hour each weekday morning here with a keyword that you can text in. So do that again tomorrow morning in the 7 o'clock hour. Happy to welcome in Ruth Conniff now from the Wisconsin Examiner to talk about some of the stories that they have been covering. And there's a lot between gubernatorial campaigns wrapping up and things at the national level. And then there's that intersection of national and state news when it comes to the various ICE raids around the country. And Ruth has written a column that says, "Wisconsin communities have been standing up to ICE. Now the state Supreme Court could do the same." And you can read more over at WisconsinExaminer.com. And Ruth Conniff is with us right now. Ruth, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good. Thanks.
Well, nice to see you. And let's talk about this, especially in the way of explaining, you know, it's one thing to round people up. It's another thing to detain them, especially if you don't have an arrest warrant. And now, so that's where we get into the difference between an arrest warrant versus something called an administrative warrant. So can you set us up a bit more with, you know, how that ties into whether or not Wisconsin's county jails can and should be used by ICE for these types of things?
Yeah, I mean, there are communities around our state that are grappling with this. So some of them had signed ICE cooperation agreements like Palmyra, and then decided that in fact it was not a good idea. The community did not like the idea of local law enforcement functioning basically as an arm of federal immigration enforcement. So there are communities that are working with ICE where local law enforcement is picking people up or holding people in county jails past the time that it makes sense to hold them there so that ICE can pick them up and deport them. And then there's a lot of activism at the local level saying, this is just not what we want Wisconsin to look like. We don't want to start to see the kinds of scenes that we're seeing in St. Paul and Minneapolis and Chicago, where people are just getting grabbed off the street. And as you point out, there's a difference between an administrative warrant, which is just ICE saying they think somebody might be here without documents, and a judicial warrant, which is really what the Trump administration started out saying it was trying to do, which is pick up people who have committed crimes for deportation. So a lot of the people who are being picked up on an administrative warrant, there's just no crime. And this is what we're seeing with ICE detentions around the country, is that they are mostly people who have not committed any kind of crime. They are, you know, people who are working, who have families. And these violent scenes of people being grabbed off the street are really alarming.
Well, I mean, you rightly mention, or the way you describe it, is a campaign of terror. And that, you know, here we were promised, I guess, some kind of relief from the violence being perpetrated by migrants. The violence is being perpetrated by masked secret police who, as you write here, masked federal agents are aiming guns at civilians, smashing out car windows and dragging parents from their children, hustling them off to detention centers to be fast-tracked out of the country without due process. Mm-hmm. I don't think campaign of terror is in any way, shape, or form hyperbolic here.
Yeah, I mean, and this is why it's very significant that the Wisconsin Supreme Court has agreed to hear a case to decide whether it's constitutional in the state of Wisconsin for local law enforcement to cooperate in these raids when there's no underlying crime. There's no other reason for law enforcement to be involved. And this is something that individual communities have decided across the state. But now the Wisconsin Supreme Court is going to hear this case and decide whether, in fact, you know, we're just not going to do this here in Wisconsin. We have a relatively quiet time compared to some of our neighboring states. We haven't seen this kind of really scary stuff happening very much in our state. And I think there's a really good shot that the Supreme Court will decide that that's just not the way that Wisconsin works. That's not the way that our laws allow people to behave.
Yeah, the case was filed, you write, by the state chapter of the ACLU on behalf of the immigrant rights group Voces de la Frontera, contending that Wisconsin law enforcement agencies do not have the authority to make arrests or keep people in jail on detainers based solely on ICE's administrative warrants, which is, again, to say, because the knee-jerk reaction is, you know, soft on crime or things like that. When we're talking about administrative warrants, we are not talking about the narco-terrorists that Trump and others promised was going to be the focus of all of this ICE activity.
No, I mean, we're talking about roofers and landscapers and, you know, dairy workers and, you know, people who have been part of our communities for a long time and who are peaceful, hardworking people. And that sort of violent raids that terrify people are not making our communities safer.
Yeah, let's highlight some of the other things that you can find over at WisconsinExaminer.com, not the least of which that caught my eye. Medicare's new AI experiment sparks alarm among doctors and lawmakers, the article says. And I'm just going to read the lead because, again, it seems almost dystopian here. A Medicare pilot program will allow private companies to use artificial intelligence to review older Americans' requests for certain medical care, and will reward companies when they deny it. So again, this is Medicare. People have paid in their taxes all their lives. They are expecting medical care. Doctors are requesting care. But if health insurance companies use AI to review these things and deny the doctors and patients' request for care, they're actually going to get a bonus in our tax dollars. I wish I could say you can't make this stuff up, but it's right there at the Wisconsin Examiner website.
It is scary to think this is a pilot program. It's being launched in several states. It's part of Medicare Advantage. And so we, for a long time, have had a problem in this country that we have a healthcare system that is based on the profits of the middleman, the insurance companies. So, you know, the way that you squeeze more money out of the healthcare system is to deny people care. So there's already a problem with private health companies denying care in order to save money. This accelerates it through the, you know, the government provided system of Medicare. Medicare Advantage is contracts with private companies. And the introduction of AI makes it even more creepy.
Sinister, yes.
Yeah. So you don't have a, you know, you have doctors who say that people need a certain treatment or a certain procedure. And then you have AI reviewing the record and saying, no, maybe we can save the money and not allow them to get that care.
Gosh, again, look for that at WisconsinExaminer.com. I always like highlighting by name some of the folks on your team who are working on things. Baylor Spears is already working on the governor's race and recently caught up with former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes.
Yeah, Mandela Barnes was in Madison yesterday at a bike shop, and Baylor talked to him, listened to his pitch on his campaign, and he was there to talk about tariffs and the problem with tariffs for local businesses in Wisconsin. And she will continue to be following around several of the candidates around the state.
Yeah, Ruth Conniff is here, the editor-in-chief of the Wisconsin Examiner. Henry Redman is working on a story about Wisconsin land trusts. And we have talked on this program before about the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund and Republican legislators' efforts to defund it. Again, an instance where you hear that there's bipartisan support to a certain level for this program, but in terms of what actually passes a Republican-controlled legislature is another matter. And Henry's headline says it pretty well, just don't kill it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that is a quote from one of the sources in this story who's really worried that Knowles Nelson is not going to be renewed. And that would affect about 700,000 acres of land in Wisconsin that have been protected through this very popular program that helps to pay for setting aside conservation areas in the state. And he really digs into what a huge difference it will make for places like Door County, places that attract tourists because of the beauty of the natural landscape there. And there's a lot of beautiful parts of the state that will be lost if they don't renew the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund. There are a couple of different proposals. There's a Republican and a Democratic proposal to renew it. The sticking point for some Republicans up north is that they feel that there needs to be more private ownership of land and that this has blocked development in some areas. You know, and there's a debate about what's a better value for Wisconsin. But also there's a concern by Republican legislators that they don't supervise the DNR enough. And so the Republican proposal would make any land purchase of $1 million or more go through the legislature to go through. That process is so slow that conservationists say it wouldn't work at all. And so then there's a Democratic counter proposal that just raises the cash limit on what the legislature supervises before DNR can be involved in setting land aside. It doesn't seem like they're going to work this out.
No. And it always makes me nostalgic for those days when Republicans campaigned as the party of local control and smaller government. And the record since they've taken over has been about micromanagement. And that's what this Republican bill is about, is again, allowing for micromanagement of individual parcel purchases, as opposed to the Democratic proposal put forward by State Senator Jody Habersynekin that would reauthorize the program and create an independent board made up of members appointed by the legislature to approve large land purchases through the program. I, again, will plead guilty to having rose-colored glasses on and thinking, well, maybe there's enough support that they'll work out some kind of a compromise measure in the fall session. That did not happen. So now we're left asking ourselves if this is going to get done in January, February, or not at all for the year.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right.
So we're talking to Ruth Conniff here from the Wisconsin Examiner, and there's one other story I wanted to mention, and it is, of course, about Trump's trade war and Wisconsin farmers. The headline is Trump to send $12 billion in one-time payments to farmers to offset ag losses. And offset is doing a lot of heavy lifting on there because it's more than $12 billion in markets that farmers in Wisconsin and elsewhere are losing.
Yeah, I mean, we saw the effects of the trade war when all this bumper soybean crop was just sitting in the fields and China was no longer purchasing any soybeans from our country. That crisis has temporarily been averted because China's buying some soybeans from the U.S. now, although has opened up other markets in Latin America. So we've lost a big portion of that market for our Wisconsin soybean farmers. You know, the long-term effect of the tariffs and trade wars is to destabilize markets, and it's not going to be fixed with a one-time cash payout. The other thing about the cash payout from the Trump administration is that the Trump administration says it's coming from tariff revenue. Well, the revenue is the money that farmers are paying to pay more for products that they used to pay less for because of these tariffs. So farm equipment, you know, the inputs, the fertilizer, the, you know, the tractors, that money, it's sort of, they're giving back some of the money that the farmers have paid in a tax in order to say, well, here, we've made it up to you for the tariffs. And it's a one-time payment. So it doesn't fix the structural problem.
No, it doesn't. And again, it's creating a problem and then claiming to have solved the problem that you created. The article notes that a reporter asked if Trump would be open to another round of relief. Trump said it would depend on how international trade develops and said farmers would not want further aid. He says China is buying a lot. Other countries are buying a lot. Farmers, they don't want aid. They just want a level playing field. Yeah, but except they're not buying a lot yet. They're buying a lot less.
A lot, and all he's offering is the aid. So it's a lot of doublespeak. He's offering aid. He's not fixing the structural problem. He's saying farmers don't want aid. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
No. So read up on that and everything that Ruth's team is doing over at WisconsinExaminer.com. Ruth Conniff, editor-in-chief. Always nice to catch up with you, Ruth. Thanks so much. Yeah. Have a great day.
You too, Pat.
All right. We'll have some final news and notes here from Lake Wissota coming up in just a bit. Then, of course, we've got Matt Nair on air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach. Four little days left here before Jane's retirement, so you want to tune in for the surprises that Greg and others are conjuring up for making sure that you know, Jane has all the tools she needs to ride off into the sunset and go, hey, that was fun, but it's time to do what's next. We'll wrap things up here in just a bit. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
So I mentioned you could hear John and Gordy weekdays in the afternoon now across the network and mornings at the Civic Media station in Madison. And if you'd like to track where all the shows are, what they're talking about, who's been a guest, and more, sign up for Civic Media's daily newsletter filled with show highlights, links, and more. CivicMediaToday.substack.com. Again, CivicMediaToday.substack.com is the address to go to and subscribe to the Civic Media daily newsletter. So today, the U.S. Supreme Court is going to be hearing arguments in a case that could undo the many independent agencies that oversee everything from consumer protection to worker protection to environmental protection to and much more, and determine if there will be mostly independent boards that can deal with these issues that are specialized and could really benefit from experts, or if political lackeys will be the ones who are running these all the time, and that public service will completely be based on partisan whims. And based on the current record of the conservative justices at the U.S. Supreme Court, it's looking a lot like independent agencies may be on the way out. Chief Justice John Roberts has been making that case for more than 40 years, back to his days as a young man working in the Reagan administration. And in 2010, he wrote a Supreme Court decision all about independent agencies and boards, and says they prevent the chief executive from being fully accountable for discharging his duties. Now, that certainly is one way to look at it. Give a listen to this list. These are, I don't dare read all of these, but all of these independent agencies could be impacted if, in a case before the Supreme Court today, they ultimately rule that a president on a whim can fire all the members of the board, put his own political stooges on there, they can fire people at will rather than with cause, and greatly change the public service trajectory of these agencies. And before I even read it, I mean, just keep in mind what we already learned, what happened on Friday when an entirely new panel that talked about recommendations for vaccines removed the recommendation for a vital hepatitis B vaccine for newborns. and the incredible damage that could be done to babies' health moving forward as a result of it. And that's just one board where, again, President Trump was able to fire everybody and put a bunch of quacks on there instead. Now imagine that happening with the Chemical Safety and Hazard Investigation Board. Just imagine a bunch of, you know, corporate stooges on that one. The Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Well, let's just load that one up with a bunch of hedge funds managers. The Commission on Civil Rights. Well, you can imagine the white supremacists that could be appointed to something like that. If, again, you've got a Congress that has abdicated any oversight when it comes to vetting these nominees. There's the Consumer Product Safety Commission, which brings me back to the really old Saturday Night Live skit with Dan Aykroyd, the bag of broken glass. And what a great kid's toy that would be. And we have a Consumer Product Safety Commission that theoretically could move in that direction with this Supreme Court case that's being heard today. There's the Federal Labor Relations Authority, again, talking about workers' rights, the Federal Maritime Commission, the Mine Safety and Health Review Commission, the Federal Trade Commission, the Legal Services Corporation that helps provide legal aid to low-income Americans for civil cases. There's the Merit Systems Protection Board that, again, helps protect federal workers from political interference. There's the National Indian Gaming Commission, the National Labor Relations Board, the National Transportation Safety Board. How much better or worse would you feel getting on an airplane if it was not only Sean Duffy as Secretary of Transportation, but that he and Donald Trump got to pick who was on the National Transportation Safety Board? There's the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, the Occupational Safety and Health Review Commission, the U.S. Institute of Peace, which Donald Trump has now renamed the Donald Trump Institute of Peace for a guy that is doing exactly what Vladimir Putin wants him to do when it comes to the war in Ukraine. And of course, there's the U.S. Postal Service Board of Governors, as we learned in Trump's first term, putting Louis DeJoy in as Postmaster General, somebody whose entire business experience is about the private companies that would like the U.S. Postal Service to go away. And Postal Service took a big hit as a result of the actions in Trump's first term. And that's not even counting the ones like the Federal Election Commission, National Credit Union Administration, the Securities and Exchange Commission, the International Trade Commission. These are all independent agencies that risk losing their independence in a case that's going to be taken up by the U.S. Supreme Court today. We may not learn the ruling until June, but I have a feeling the arguments that we're going to hear today will make clear that at least five, maybe all six conservative justices will take steps to dismantle the independence of these agencies, which it is, again, it's easy to just bring up the word bureaucrat, and it's easy to bring up the word regulation. You have to work a little harder to replace bureaucrats with the word experts and replace regulations with the word protections. Now, I'm not saying there can't be over-regulation. I'm not saying that there can't be some bureaucrats who are bad at their job or not really compassionate to the people who are filling out applications and asking for help. But now try getting rid of all that entirely. Try going to the other extreme side of that equation. Tell me how that isn't so much worse than what we've got right now. Coming up next, Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance, a group of small business owners who do not necessarily align with big business when it comes to what Congress and the president should be doing in the nation's capital. We'll find out about their latest public awareness campaign coming up next. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.